9:30, exactly. It's KCIM Sports Rewind on the air, the only show where we brag about wearing pants to work, apparently. Right, Mason?
Well, you guys talk about, well, Jeff at least talks about how I don't know how to dress when it comes to cold weather. So I looked outside, and it was cold, and I said, you know what, let me put some pants on. And the other thing is to hide the tan lines I was talking about on my feet from State Track.
Well, it just sounded weird because there was no qualifying statement before that, so just sounded like you were proud you were actually wearing pants today. So,
it's just
little saying.
Achievements in life.
A little weird going on there. That's the way we start. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Blankman.
And I'm Mason Nealand.
And it's time to talk a little sports here. So I'm going to start here. Baseball's golden age is back.
Okay.
It's funny that there were some stats the other day. The last time that baseball was considered in their golden era was 1975 to about 1990.
Right.
There was lots of great athletes playing, and games were like 2.5 hours. Then all of a sudden, it seemed like in the 90s, this just came to a screeching halt, and games started to be 4 hours long, and all the specialties and things like that. Well, now games are back down to about 2.5.
Right.
The scoring is way up. Attendance is way up. Ratings are way up.
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, I love it. I've always been a baseball fan, and I think people are finally starting to catch on that, yeah, the game's changed a little bit. It's evolved. The players have gotten on board with it. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. And there's just, like the Cubs. I mean, yep. Great stories all around. The Tigers is another great story. A team that used to be really good and was really horrid for a long time. But now they've turned it around again, too.
Yeah, and that's great to see. I know there's a lot of Yankee fans around here, but you know, I'm a Reds fan, and you get the smaller markets involved in winning and being successful, and especially the traditionally strong, you know, smaller markets, you know, mm-hmm. back being successful. I think that just makes the game better. I think if all you ever get's the Dodgers and the Yankees because they can spend more money than everybody else winning, I think for a lot of us, it just kind of makes us turn away from the game a little bit.
Yeah, the Reds have some great young talent. Ellie De La Cruz is one guy you just pay to go see.
You do, play. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, a trivia question of the day has to do with baseball. Not maybe necessarily one of the prime young players, but Chris Sale, pitcher. I mean, how much has this guy been hurt?
A lot.
You know what fell off his bike in Boston and lost a whole year or something like that?
It was, I'm sure he didn't really fall off the bike, but that's probably what they told us.
Yeah, probably. It sounded like a paper cut would put him on the 60-day DL.
Yes.
I mean, he was like just injury prone as all get out. Well, it shocked me to read the other day. He is the fastest pitcher in Major League history to reach 2,500 strikeouts.
Really?
Chris Sale.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
First of all, hey, this is not the trivia question, but who did he beat? Who do you think was the fastest?
Nolan Ryan?
Nope, not Nolan Ryan. That one shocked me. That was my first guess as well.
Steve Carlton?
The Ryan Express. No, more current day.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson. Okay. And he beat him by like a couple hundred innings or something like that.
Really?
Or 75 innings, about 75 innings, I think it was. So he did it in, 2,026 innings. Randy Johnson did it in 2,107 and two-thirds innings. So he becomes the 40th pitcher in the major leagues to get 2,500 strikeouts. Three other active pitchers have that amount. Who are they?
Kershaw.
Wrong one. Yep, Kershaw is one of them. Clayton Kershaw.
Active pitchers.
And it was the first two that came to my mind when I thought about this.
I'm trying to think who's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to be around for a long time to get to that level.
Boy, see, and I'm better of answering questions from the 70s, 80s, and 90s than I am from today.
Who was the guy that pitched on the Mets a couple years back? DeGrom?
Nope, not Jacob DeGrom. Not Thor. That's what they called him. Famous Detroit Tiger.
Still pitching.
Yep, he's still pitching.
Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander is one of them.
I forget sometimes that, because he's missed some years because of injury here late in his career, but I forget sometimes that he's still throwing.
And the other guy, I believe he won with the Washington Nationals, and he's been bouncing around from club to club, but one of the highest paid pitchers out there.
Strasburg's not around anymore, right?
What's that?
Steven Strasburg's not around.
Nope, not him. I'm trying to think of what one of their
what other teams?
One of the teams he's played with. I think he's played with I want to say Houston. I think he might have pitched with
Houston
with Verlander in Houston. Drawing a blank on that.
I'm sure as soon as you tell me the name, I'll go, oh, yeah, but no clue.
We won't drag it out anymore. Okay. Max Scherzer.
Scherzer. Okay.
There you go. Those are the three pitchers, active pitchers with over 2,500 strikeouts. Kershaw hasn't been pitching much.
No, he just debuted like a week ago or something, first time he was back on the hill for the Dodgers.
What is it, the 19th or 20th season with him?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He has been so good for so long.
He has. There was a long time where he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's your trivia question of the week. That was what I had.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm out. Peace out. See you later.
All right. Welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So hopefully you had a good weekend.
I did. My daughter's wedding.
Yeah, that's right.
Over the weekend. So I have a new son-in-law.
Congratulations.
Today. Yeah, terrific guy. My daughter hit it out of the park with this guy.
Right.
It's like, I like him. I just like, you know?
That's rare, isn't it?
And
rare for a father-in-law to like the son-in-law. That's rare, right?
I hope not. I hope it's not rare out there. they asked me to officiate their wedding, so that's what I did over the weekend. It was a crazy thing to go through, and somebody asked me if I was nervous, and I said I wasn't nervous.
Right.
I've done it 1,000 times, stand up in front of a crowd with a microphone and all that, but I was just trying to keep my emotions in check.
Right. How'd you do on
your baby girl's getting married right there.
And
I told them, I said, the one thing I did not think of at the ceremony is that when I was standing up there, I was trying to look at the crowd. They were both like right there, right next to me, and both staring at me as I talked. And I'm like, okay, that made me a little nervous. So I'm like, oh, wow, you guys are like really close to me right now. So, but no, it was great. Everything went off without a hitch.
Awesome.
So my daughter is one of those organized people that had a 3-page itinerary that was down to the minute of everything that would happen. And it went off just like that.
Just like that
perfectly. So
people that are really organized usually do have things well under control. So,
I know. Yeah. And judging her in high school, who would have thought she would have ever been that organized? She was one of the most disorganized kids ever in high school. So
it's amazing how that can change. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. You know, like my brother married, officiated the wedding for my nephew and I don't know what you call her now to me. Is she a niece? Niece-in-law? I guess I've never really known the term, but I think it's really cool when, you know, family members are able to do that. So that's really cool. You were able to do that.
Yeah. And I kept telling them, we're standing ready to walk into the room where the wedding's happening. I looked at my daughter and said, last chance, you can always pick somebody else. And she goes, no, I think we'll stick with this plan.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We did that.
Yeah.
Anyway, spring sports season, it's in the books.
It's gone.
It's done.
It is. Yeah. It's hard to believe that it finally wrapped up yesterday. The Kemper girls tennis team was at the state team event that was held over in Pella yesterday. They had made the semifinals and opened up with Cedar Rapids Xavier and ended up falling 5-1 in singles and in team stuff at this level. All you have to do is win five games or five, you know, matches or whatever, and you move on. So Kemper ended up falling into the third place game, ended up playing Decorah in that one and ended up falling there also by a final of 5-1. So they finish in fourth. So I know they probably drove home from Decorah, probably disappointed to go 0-2 on the day. But I think when they have a little bit of time to reflect back and look at what they were able to accomplish, I know in my 22 years here, this is by far the best finish that they've had, you know, as a team at the state event. And I'm almost guessing that it might be the best that the girls have done maybe in Kemper history as a team. So I tip your cap to them. They had a tremendous, tremendous season.
Yeah, I played a lot of tennis when I was a kid, and you know when somebody's better than you.
Yes.
And when you start to play them, you're like, wow, this person's next level. And, you know, you don't mind so much when that's – it's if you blow it or if you just make stupid mistakes, stuff you don't normally do, that's what bothers you. I don't ever get in mind being beaten by a better player.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think as long as you go out and play your best, that's the way it should be, you know, and stuff with anything. But, you know, and then late last week they had the singles tournament – and doubles. And Kaylee Simons finished fifth, and Charlotte Schwabe and
Sophia Tidgren
finished up with a seventh place finish in double. So, you know, like I said, just a tremendous year. Addie Biter had a nice run on day two of the State Girls Golf Tournament. Finished up, what, 13th, if I remember
right? I think 13th, and she shot like 9 over through 18 on the second day. It was an impressive performance because she was tied for 18th going into the day.
Yep.
And then she sat at that kind of tied for 18th, 17th range, and then I pulled up the results again probably later in the day when she was probably 13, 14 in, and she jumped all the way up to 9th, I think, and then fell back to 13th after everyone finished. So congratulations to her. I mean, a great year out of her as well, kind of solidified her role as the number one for the Kemper girls going forward.
You bet. And then the Kemper boys golf team last week ended up finishing tied for 9th at the state meet held up in Waterloo. Mason Reichs and Isaac Jackson from Audubon competed last week in the individual boys tennis tournament up in Waterloo as well. Both of those were Monday. Last week, of course, golf was 2 days. So, yeah, the season comes to an end. The only thing we haven't done, and we were planning on doing that today, is announcing our All Rewind Spring Athletes of the Year and stuff.
And we're going to get to that after the break here.
Absolutely. So we'll announce that a little bit later on.
You know, when a team gets to the years ago, remember we had every single Carroll County team was ranked number one in golf, I think, here.
Yep.
You know, they just knew how to compete at the statewide level.
Right.
It seems like the teams are learning that all over again. We've kind of gone through those cycles a little bit.
Yep.
You take a look at tennis. I mean, just making it as a team was a huge step.
Right.
And now you see what it takes to compete on that level.
Yep.
So now you've just reset the whole program.
Yeah, and that Kemper girls tennis team's got a lot of players coming back. So I think they're going to have a good chance to make a very, very deep run next year as well. And then we'll see. There's been a lot of excitement about tennis here in the last few years, and you can see it on both the girls and the boys programs that I think that the tennis programs here in town are growing. And the same thing with Audubon. Audubon's much improved here in probably the last 3 or 4 years from where they were prior to that as well.
But all the improvement happens over summertime.
It does.
I mean, it's now there's just so much competition for kids' times, whether it's basketball, volleyball, whatever it happens to be, softball, baseball going on. It's just tough to find that time to compete in that sport and get better.
It is. And the other thing we have to concern ourselves with is wearing kids down. You want to have them go out and do work. I've never been against kids doing work, but you know, you talk to, like I do, I talk to a lot of the kids when they get later into their high school careers and they're just ready to be done. So there's that balance of allowing them to be a kid and enjoying being a kid and at the same time getting that work in to get them to where, you know, you hope you can get them as a coach and as a parent, you know, athletically as well. So, but you got to kind of find that line and toe it, you know, so that you don't burn them out. So,
tell you what, one of the best things I ever did when I was playing tennis when I was young was compete against much older people.
Yes.
That is invaluable. When I talked to Sean and Shelly Hiluska on our podcast, they said they go down to the rec center and roll it out with those guys. And
yes.
I mean, they had no mercy on them.
Right. Yeah.
You either competed or you didn't, or you didn't play.
Yeah.
And they said that they learned more through that than anything else.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, the successes that I had as a youth in athletics was probably because I had two older brothers that very much liked that. They were 3 and 4 years older than me, and they weren't going to take, you know, if it took an elbow to the face, it was going to be an elbow to the face. And then back in those days, it didn't matter. I mean, it was physical and you know, they played hard. They weren't going to let me win because I was the little brother, and I think that part of what made me competitive. So
overall, the spring sports season, I mean, give me your impressions on what were the highlights of the spring sports season.
I'm
going
to let Mason handle that because it was his first year getting to go through it as a radio guy,
and he's got pants on, so let's do
yes
that.
For me, the highlights was you can really tell that a lot of the kids enjoyed it, and they enjoyed seeing all of their friends out there. When we go to track meets and stuff, they'd all hang out and talk, and they'd go compete. And you kind of found that sort of more chill, relaxed vibe with the kind of the track meets and stuff. And with soccer matches and all that, I think all of our teams were fairly successful this year in the sense of that they go out there and they keep games close and they compete at that high level and they competed well. And then for just tennis and golf and everything, I think that for a lot of the teams, they kind of set the standard for what we're going to look for going forward is that they're going to compete at a higher level. They're going to send kids to the state meets, and they're going to want to achieve kind of a team success as well as kind of a singular success. So I think that – we're treading in the right direction for success-wise. And I think that I've seen a lot more kids smile during the spring sports season and kind of enjoy what they're doing out there.
And you got to cover a state champion in state track. That had to be a really a thrill for you, too.
It was more of, I don't know why, but I was so nervous watching it because I'm like, I'm watching him. I'm like, he's going to be the one to do it. And if he doesn't do it, I don't know who's going to do it. And I wanted to watch a state champion. And for Trayvon, I mean, he deserved it all year. Last year, obviously, took second. The whole year, he worked really hard, and he was kind of falling a little bit for a minute there and going to 6'3 or 6'2 jumping, and then at the end of the year, sprung back up. But when he got there, you could really tell that he was eager to win it, and you could tell during the day that he kind of found his own.
I think part of it, too, for Trayvon was you get the weather a little warmer. I don't think people realize, you know, especially in track and tennis and golf, soccer as well, that in those spring sports, so especially early in the year, you're out there competing in 45, 50-degree weather sometimes where there's no sun and wind out of the north and it's chilly and it's hard to get the body, you know, loosened up and stuff, especially for a high jumper. I mean, the warmer the weather, I think the more relaxed and stuff your body is and the better you're able to jump. So, but yeah, for me, I always enjoy the spring sports season. I've said it multiple times that the state track meet's probably my favorite state event to cover because, you know, with the way we do it, you know, I'm down at the finish line pretty much the whole day or walking around to the shot put and the high jump and the long jump area, and you feel like you're right there in the action. Most of the other sports we cover, we're up in a booth or, you know, we're sitting behind the fence or something. But with track and especially state track, you're right there. You literally, you know, as soon as the kid's done running, we never go over right to them and force them to interview before they catch their breath or any of those kind of things. But you're right there in the action, and that makes it, you know, a lot of fun.
Very, very cool. So all we have left to do now is name the athletes of the year for spring sports, and we're going to do that coming up next. It's on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
This is KCIM Sports Rewind. Sports Director Jeff Blankman, Assistant Sports Director Mason Nealon, myself. We're going to be naming the athletes of the year for the spring sports season. You can't really do a Rewind All-Star festivity for the spring sports season. It's very tough.
It is, and I know it disappoints a lot of people that we don't, and we feel bad about that. But, you know, there's no break in between the sports seasons.
You started the Sports Rewind All-Star festivity, you were doing what, one a year, and then also they kind of expanded. Now everybody wants one. So
yes,
it's just tough to fit in.
It is, and with the baseball and softball season, you know, baseball starts before the spring sports season's over. So does softball technically, with tennis season just wrapping up. It's like, when do you hold it? And then with four different sports, what do you do? And where do you even hold it? You know, what type of events? You know, everything else we do. You know, like, you know, the one in the summer we play slow pitch softball because it's baseball and softball. You know, we play basketball for the basketball all-star game. We play volleyball for the volleyball all-star game. It's like, what sport do you pick? You know, if you're a track kid, you want to go back out and run 100 or run a 3,200 a month after the season's over? Probably not, you know, and stuff. So you look and you're like, okay, what do we do? So what we decided to do a year ago was just to go ahead and name an athlete of the year for each of, you know, the different sports and the two genders. And hopefully that will, you know, kind of make a few people happy. I know it's never going to make everybody.
We'll get them
a certificate and a T-shirt, and we'll get all that handed out. We'll have them come in, and we'll get a picture of them and get that out on all of our social media sites. So,
all right, where do you guys want to begin?
I wanted to say something first before, just because somebody may have not gotten recognized on the level of being our athlete of the year. I think here, and I think I'm speaking for everybody here at Carroll Broadcasting, we're all very proud of how well our athletes competed in the spring. Everyone competed their hardest, and they went out there. And we enjoy covering everyone. So just because you aren't our athlete of the year, we still appreciate you going out and doing your sport and being able to let us cover you and dealing with me and Jeff running around with iPads and interviewing and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Mason hits the nail on the head. It's hard. We've literally kind of broken down all the results and the numbers for the entire season here over the last couple of weeks. And then we've took the postseason into account and stuff to come up with these. And a lot of these were not easy decisions. They were extremely difficult to be able to figure out. I mean, I spent probably 3 hours yesterday or Sunday, excuse me, just on girls track athletes trying to figure out who our girls track athlete of the year was. And then him and I were messaging back and forth on what we were thinking and where we were at and the different results and everybody had. So it's a long process to put these things together and to be able to come up with, you know, who we feel, you know, is that best or had the best season out of all the athletes. So.
So where which sport are you starting with?
Let's go ahead and start with track. I think that the one that's probably going to be the easiest is the young man that we just talked about. And Mason, I'll let you talk about that, the boy track athlete of the year.
So our boys track athlete of the year is going to be Trayvon Keeley from Peyton-Chardin. And I mean, it was when we watched the state event, we had a couple doubts going into it just because there was other kids that could compete for a state title. But once Trayvon medaled in the long jump, he competed in the 200, and then he won the high jump. It kind of solidified it for us as he was our state champion, and then he kind of just slid into that number one role because he competed the entire year, and he competed well in every event that he had, but then once he got that state title, it was kind of like, yep, that's what we needed to see from him.
Yeah, Cal Hayden, I'm sure, was right there neck and neck, but when the state championship just kind of put it over the top for him, and just a sophomore.
Right, yeah, absolutely, just a sophomore. He's got a long career. He's got a chance to win a couple of more state championships just in the high jump. I think he'll compete in the long jump, probably the 200, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him get in there in the 100. He just missed out qualifying for state in the 100, but you mentioned Cal Hayden. He was in the hunt. I would say Abel Zine, who was our defending, you know, a boys track athlete of the year from year ago, made it in four events down to the state meet and had a tremendous year again. You know, for him, he runs in a lot of relays. Max Butler over at IK Manning also had a tremendous year as well. So those were just a few of the guys that kind of were in contention along with Trayvon, who ended up winning it. Our girls track athlete of the year, this was probably, you heard me say here a little bit ago, I spent about 3 hours on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening going through every one of the kids that was in contention's number. But, you know, we fell on Tristan Gordon from South Central Calhoun, another sophomore. Tremendous, tremendous year up until the state qualifying meet. And then at the state meet, she started to struggle. And she would be the first one to tell you that in the shot put late in the year. She was great in the shot put all year. And then started to struggle just a little bit, still qualified for state, but didn't finish where she wanted to there, but took second in the discus. But if you look at it as a whole, throughout the entire season. During the regular season, she never finished worse than second in any event that she was at. She won almost every event she was at through the regular season, then again took second at state and placed again as well nicely in the shot put. So Tristan Gordon of South Central Calhoun, our girls athlete of the year, and Mason, I know we looked at a few other kids as well.
I think Caitlin Aiden was in there as well from Carroll, Wendy Veit from East Sac. And I mean, Wendy, what, just a freshman?
Just a freshman.
And she was competing for it. And I mean, she went out and she qualified for state in the 400 hurdles, did pretty well there, and then for the entire year she was in a couple of relays and then the 400 hurdles as well, and she competed really nice. But I think for Tristan it was just kind of the sheer dominance, I think is the word you could use for it, that she was always first or second. It was never lower than that going through the regular season.
Yeah, and Wendy had like 37 first place finishes this year and like another 16 or 17 second place finishes, so she was right in that hunt. So congratulations again to Tristan Gordon of South Central Calhoun and Trayvon Keeley of Peyton-Chardin as our spring track athletes of the year. We'll move over now to soccer. And not that this one was easy, but we had a couple of record breakers this year, so I think that kind of made it a little bit easier for the both of them. One was a defending boys soccer athlete of the year last year, and that was Carson Canny, became the all-time goal-scoring leader at Kemper, and he is our boys soccer player of the year, and he's just so good, got really good around the net late in the season. He's always been good with that athleticism, but his ability to score around the net late in the season was fantastic.
Yeah, and in the games I watched, he kind of became that focal point because they had guys like Fletch Bating, Charlie Mayhall that could score goals as well, but it kind of played around Carson. Carson would be the striker in the middle, and defenses would kind of go towards him, and then he opened up opportunities for other people. But he got his own opportunities and eventually broke the record for most goals at Kemper. So, I mean, that kind of set it off for us that he was a record breaker, kind of the focal point of one of our better soccer teams in the area. So he got our nomination for that.
You bet. And Fletch Baiting and him had a really great working relationship, you know, out on the field. Our girls soccer player of the year, Mason?
Sierra Pudence from Kemper. She also broke the record there. But when we watched her play, I mean, it was just she'd go out there and she'd score. Some nights she'd score one goal with two assists, and some nights she'd score four goals. She would just consistently have the ball on her foot. And when Coach Massey needed a goal or needed somebody to go make something happen, Sierra was kind of the person that he'd call on.
And they tied the record for most wins in Kemper girls soccer history with 14 this year, and a lot of that was due to they're deep and they're talented. They're young. I think they're going to be really good next year, but Sierra was the leader on that team, and I think the girl that a lot of the other girls looked up to kind of lead them, and that is what she did all season long. So congratulations again to Sierra Pudence of Kemper and also Carson Caney of Kemper as our soccer players of the year. We'll move over to tennis, this one was not easy, especially on the girls' side. I thought the boys had some other boys in there as well, but Mason Reich's kind of been our top player the last couple of years, and he was our boys' tennis player of the year.
Yeah, Mason, I mean, getting to state as a state qualifier, of course, he was the first one that we saw. Obviously, Isaac getting there as well later for Audubon, but he was the one that kind of set it there first and set the tone for that. But all year, I mean, he competed at a high level, and he was Kemper's number one in a pretty successful year for Kemper as well.
You bet. And Isaac Jackson was another guy from Audubon that was in that hunt and stuff with the way he played this year. And then Kemper had some other guys as well. On the girls' side of things, you know, Kaylee Simons finishes fifth in the individual, but I think you had to look at Charlotte Schwabe and Emma Schwarty and Sophia Tidgren also were in that hunt because that was just a pretty deep and talented team. But Kaylee Simons was our defending girls' tennis player of the year, and she earns herself another one of those awards this year. Still just so quick on the back line, serves well, covers ground. It's hard to score on her because she can get to everything. I mean, it's like she's a libero on volleyball, you know, which she is, of course. And she uses that ability to be able to read the ball and get there and put herself in good position to be able to make plays. So congratulations to Kaylee Simons. Mason Reichs of Kemper is our tennis athletes of the year. And finally, in golf, I'm going to let you take the boys one to start with.
For Kemper, it was a tough one. We were between two, and then ultimately we came out with Braxton Vanami as our boys golf athlete of the year. It was between him and Caden Shones, the two Kemper boys. But we crunched the numbers on who shot better throughout the year at each event, and I think Braxton just kind of found his own in the middle of the year and kind of held that mantle all the way up until the end of the year. And then I think Caden got him at the state meet or something
right.
like that.
Yep.
But he kind of was the leader of that Kemper boys golf team throughout the middle of the year when they were finding their success in these 18-hole tournaments.
And I tell you what, that was one of the toughest ones we had. We literally went through every single match and meet that they had this year and looked at the scores for both of those guys and kind of broke them down. It was a discussion before we came up with Braxton Vanami as our boys golfer of the year. On the girls' side of things, Addie Biter last year was the runner-up for that award this year. She had a tremendous year and was our girls golfer of the year for Kemper. Again, making the state tournament, making a really nice run on day two there. But just consistency with her this year at the top of that Kemper team. I think Adlin Wheelock was another player that we looked at from South Central Calhoun who had a really strong year all year long and kind of led them. And then, of course, Elsa Tiefenthaler, who was our defending girls golfer of the year, also had another strong year for Kemper. But Addie just kind of set herself apart a little bit this season.
Yeah, and I could tell that specifically when I went to the first golf meet of the year was the Carroll and Kemper one out at the Muni, and you could just tell that Addie kind of settled in and she looked more calm and comfortable, and she just looked like she was ready to take the Kemper team kind of on her back that year. But the Kemper girls team obviously did pretty successful throughout the year between Elsa and Addie, but Addie just kind of played a little better this year, I'd say.
Yep. So two great ones again, and Braxton Vanami and Elsa Tiefenthaler, Addie Biter of Kemper as our boys and girls golfers of the year. So congratulations goes out to them.
All right, so that kind of puts the wrap on the spring sports season with our athletes of the year. And you're going to track them down, get them a picture.
I will get text messages out to all of them. I'll get shirt orders in as soon as I can get their shirts, and we'll get those in, and we'll get the certificates made, and then we'll try to get them to stop in here over the next know, a week or so after the shirts are done, and then we'll get them a picture of them and get it out on all of our social media sites. So we appreciate them doing that, and congratulations not just to them but to all of our, you know, area spring athletes. It was a lot of fun covering them this year, and looking forward to next year.
Now, baseball softball season takes center stage here finally, and
yes.
We have the first, as we talk, the rain is coming down probably just about as hard as it has in a while, but it looks like Carroll's just kind of pulling out of a Coon Rapids. Just got a dumping of rain here just a bit ago. But so we'll see if the games go on tonight.
Yeah, I'll be texting all of the coaches and ADs here after the show to see if they can let me know as soon as things are changed, if anything changes with today's games. But I'm a little concerned that we may not get many, if any, games in today. But it's been a fun start to the season so far. And again, one of the things I do want to remind everybody, there's recaps of the season with almost all of our spring sports coaches. We got a couple of more to touch base with and get done this week, but we're also starting our interviews with all of our baseball and softball coaches. So Mason and I will talk to every coach every week throughout the baseball and softball season. You can find those podcasted interviews on the podcast center at sports.1380kcm.com and on the mobile app.
Yeah, download that by just searching CB Sports Network in your app store. That is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week.